This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Any Tom Brady fans out there? Oh. Oh, this is a cold crowd, man. It's like the second crowd, I'm like, okay. Well, so I take it most of you are then are pulling for Atlanta just to beat the stuffings out of the Patriots, right? We're a league full of haters down here, aren't we? Tom, I read an article about him, and they were asking questions about Deflategate, and where he was supposedly deflated footballs. And obviously, this crowd knows he's extremely guilty. But here's what he said. He said, you know, he deflects those questions. He said, you know, he said, I'm a positive person. He said, I really don't focus on that. He said, I don't focus on the problems. He said, I focus on the positives. He said, I really don't get into negativity or bashing. He said, I believe that being a positive person is encouraging, and that rubs off on my teammates. And I thought, you know, that's what you would like from a leader. You would like someone to be positive, because even for those of you who think that maybe playing NFL football doesn't have its challenges, I'm sure it does. And there's times of adversity, and that's where you need someone to be positive. And so if it works for Tom Brady, I really believe it works in our lives as well, even though maybe we're not playing on a big stage. But yet the idea of being positive is a powerful one. And as we've been doing a series on building a winning culture, I want to talk this morning about developing a more positive perspective. Now, the reason I use the word developing is because some people, as soon as I say positive, they're like, oh, no, that's not me. I'm not positive. I'm just a realist. And that is not me. I want you to suspend that thinking just for a little bit. Because I want to show that we have great reasons to be positive, and really we need positive people today. There's a lot of negativity out there. We need some positive folks. And so it impacts you. It impacts your families. It impacts your friends, your business associates, people you hang around with. It makes a difference. But there's often some misconceptions that people have about positive people. I call them negative misconceptions about positive people. Here's one. People think that positive people have a different set of circumstances. I mean, we can look at Tom Brady and go, well, that's wonderful, Tom Brady. If I was looked perfect and had a dimple in my chin and made $1 gazillion and was married to a Brazilian supermodel, I would be positive too. And so what happens is, though, people think, well, I would be positive if my circumstances were different. But really, that's not the truth, because what we find is positive people don't have a different set of circumstances. They have a different way of reacting to them. And so how we react is key. There was on I-45 late one night, somewhere between Corsicana and Huntsville, on those lonely truck stops, there was a lone trucker sitting there just enjoying a late night hamburger and a glass of milk by himself, just kind of quiet. And a biker gang came in, six guys. They were pretty drunk. They'd been partying. They were loud. They were rowdy. And so they came in, and they were harassing the waitress and just loud. And one of them told a joke, and all that group laughed, and they looked over at the trucker. He didn't laugh, and the leader said, hey, you didn't think that was funny? And he just kind of ignored them, and all that made him mad. So he gets up, the leader of the biker gang does. He goes over to where the trucker's having his meal, and he reaches over and he grabs his hamburger, takes a big bite out of it. Then he takes his hat off his head, puts the hamburger in the hat, and puts it back on the guy's head. Then he reaches over and grabs his milk, drinks half of it, and pours the rest up in the guy's lap. Oh, they're laughing. They're thinking that's big funny. Trucker kind of just gets up and brushes himself off best he can, pays his meal, and walks out to the chorus of laughter from the biker gang. When the waitress came back, she's refilling coffee. The leader looked at her and he said, hey, did you see that guy? He said, not much of a man, is he? The waitress never looked up. She just kept pouring coffee. She said, yeah, he's not much of a driver either. He backed over six Harleys on the way out of here. It's not your circumstances, it's how you handle it that makes the biggest difference. Some people think that positive people have a different set of genetics, that they are genetically different. Maybe they're like there's a positive gene that they didn't get, or their background. Now, I'm going to be the first one to tell you that if you grow up in a positive household, it's going to make a difference. And it will help you. But if you grow up in a negative background, and if you don't think that you have a positive gene in you, those can be overcome. Because it's not so much a function of what I've got, is how I can develop. And then I think the last misconception about positive people is truly positive people, they really are in denial. The truly positive ones are just ignoring. They're like, I don't see the problem. I just ignore the problem. I'm all happy. You've heard the term whistling through the graveyard? Ever heard that term? Whistling through the graveyard is you're going through a scary situation, you're whistling. I thought about that and said, really, whistling through the graveyard is better than screaming through the graveyard. And what we realize is, it's not that that people who are positive, it's not that they necessarily look at situations and go, oh, they're not there. It's that they look beyond them and believe that there's an answer. See, positivity really is as the idea of optimism. I have a favorable outlook. I'm expecting a favorable outcome. But here's the deal, because a lot of times I'm talking about this, and I know some of you are sitting there thinking right now, I don't know, Alan, I don't know if I want to really be positive. I don't even know if I have the potential to be positive. You know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, I don't believe I'm talking to old dogs. I believe I'm talking to new creations in Christ. And if you're a new creation, there's a difference here. See, I believe all of us, especially as Christians, we have the potential to be positive. And are we living in a world that could use a little bit of positivity? The negativity is just almost overwhelming. I believe, as Christians, I believe we have the potential to be as positive as any group. And I'm going to show you why. Here's a wonderful scripture. It's found in 1 John. It says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Whatever is born of God. Some people think the term born again was coined by American evangelicals. It was not. It's a Jesus term. It's a Peter term. Peter talked about being born again of incorruptible seed. Do you realize when you made Jesus Christ your Lord, you didn't get religion. You got changed on the inside. There was a spiritual rebirth. And if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, and old things have passed away and all things have become new. You're brand new on the inside. Now, you're brand new, and the Bible says you're born of God, so you're God's child. When I went up to see my grandson, I got a chance to see him and hold him this week. When I held him, I didn't go, well, I don't know about you. You look like a little loser. That's not what I said to him. That is not what I said. Why? Because that grandchild is connected to me. That child's got some Clayton in him. So I'm like, you are blessed. You are so blessed. You are blessed. How many of you know that's the right response for a grandfather? I know you're shocked that I am a grandfather, but it's true. It's the right response. How many of you know that's the right response for a parent to hold a newborn child and go, you are a winner. You're in my family. You're a wonderful blessing. How many of you believe God's better than any grandfather, any father, and he looks at you and goes, you're a wonderful child. If you're born of God, you are an overcomer. So I don't think I've overcome much. Well, when you die, you're not going to a place of darkness and destruction. You get to go to a place where there's light and light and love. You've overcome. You're already an overcomer from what's happened to you in Christ and what you believe. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Our faith in God is not just something that we tag on Sunday. It's how we live. And our faith in God can really make us really positive people. Now, I want to show you a story from the Bible that's one of the best examples of negative positive that you're going to find. There are two very opposing viewpoints, but they're both powerful. The story is where the nation of Israel has come out of Egypt. They were slaves there for over 400 years. And God delivered them right out of Egypt, using Moses to do it. There were plagues, there were all this stuff that took place. And then he led them out, took them through the Red Sea, fed them in the wilderness, brought water out of the rock. They just had miracle after miracle. And now they've come right up to the edge of the promised land that God had promised them. He said, this land is flowing with milk and honey. That means it's a good, good land. He said, it's flowing with milk and honey. If I'm going to give it to you. So Moses sent 12 spies into the land to check it out for 40 days. The objective is, I'm going to come back and the 12 spies are going to go, guys, this is awesome. This is better than what we thought it was. This is just so great. And we thought, hey, I'll get so motivated to go in. But when they came back, 10 of the spies had a little bit of a different report. And actually, it's very negative. So let's pick up their story here. Then the 10 spies, told him, Moses, and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, that's a big but right there. The people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities were fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. And Caleb quieted the people because they were getting stirred up before Moses and said, let's go up at once and take possession. We're well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people. They're stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak come from giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, so we were in their sight. This is a really negative report. And you see the negativity with this. They begin to immediately focus on the problems. They said, oh yeah, it's a good land, it's a good land. Here's some fruit, and it's all good, it's good. Then they go, but. Now, how many of you know when you hear but, something's coming? The but's in the wrong place. Not you, these guys. Their butt's in the wrong place. They're what? True story. Liturgical church. You know, robes. Pastor was up and he was praying. He said, Heavenly Father, help us remember that we are but dust. And from the back, a little five-year-old girl, kindergarten, she goes, Mommy, what is but dust? I'm feeling some butt dust sprinkled on this story right here. This is not good. He said, here's the land, but we saw these people in it, and they started listing off the names. They got a laundry list. The Ites, all these Ites are in there, the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Canaanites and the Termites, all the Ites are in there. But you think, that was telling the truth. Yeah, but God had already told them that these people were there. But what they begin to do is it merely focuses. The cities are large, and they're very large. So they went from, yeah, it's good, but the problem. And now they're talking about the problem. And then they start talking about themselves. They said, we can't do this. We can't do this. The people are stronger than we are. We're nothing. They're stronger. In fact, they're giants, and we're grasshoppers. And that's how we look to us, and that's how we look to them. Have you ever noticed that when things go negative, it starts to exaggerate? Sometimes when people get negative, they don't just have a problem, they have the worst problem in the whole world. And not only is it the worst problem in the whole world, but no one's ever had a problem like this. And you can start to exaggerate, and it gets bigger and bigger. And then here's the interesting thing. These guys, the 10 spies, never mentioned God once. They never said, you know, there are some problems here, but you know God brought us out of Egypt. But you know, God helped us come through the wilderness. You know, God, He fed us and we've been getting manna. And you know, He's given us water out of a rock and He's done all these wonderful things. They never mention God one time. They don't even bring Him up. He said, well, what happened with the people? The report of the people. I can tell you what happened. The people heard that and the Bible said they wept all night. They cried. It was like they were despondent. And then they woke up the next morning. They said, we're going back. We're going back. The Lord wants to kill us. And we're going to go back to Egypt. Guys, just real quickly, Terry, if you can hear me on this, I know the air is working extremely well. You won't hear me say this much. It's too cold up here. Just mark that down. Alan actually admitted it's too cold. I hear teeth chattering. So just if you could give me a little break on that. Anyway, they said, God's trying to kill us. We need to go back. We just need to go back to Egypt. And the whole group just pretty much shut down. Now, that's the positive. I mean, the negative. Here's the positive. Caleb and Joshua, two guys. When Caleb and Joshua heard this, they were not excited. So here's what they said. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes. That just simply meant they were just passionate, upset. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only don't rebel against the Lord. Don't fear the people of the land. They are our bread their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Don't fear them. Well, you would think, man, that's pretty arousing. That's inspiring, isn't it? So you hear that, and people looked at one another and went, yeah, let's go in. No. The Bible said they picked up rocks and said, we're going to kill these guys. And they actually were going to stone them. Can I share something with you? If you are going to be positive, understand that you are going to be in the minority, that you're going to be in a negative world. And when you stand up and everyone goes, I tell you what, it's this, 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 and you stand up and say something positive, don't expect everyone to go, that's awesome, man. Thank you for sharing that. Just understand that you're going to be going against the flow, but thank God there are people who are willing to go against the flow and people who are willing to say, I still believe that God has something good for us. I still believe that God is good, and I believe I'm looking at those people. You can be examples and help other people out there because there's a lot of negativity out there. You can be a light in a dark place, so you can do that. Say, well, how do I do that? How can I begin to develop? And this is where I'm talking about developing a more positive perspective, a more positive outlook. I like the idea develop because it doesn't mean either you got it or you don't got it. It means I can grow in it. And when you think of positive guys, just don't think of like, you know, that person's like, everything is awesome, you know, like, I'm awesome, you're awesome, everything is awesome, everything awesome, we're awesome, it's awesome. Save that for Facebook. But it's got a different connection to it. It's got something totally different. When these guys begin to mention the problems, they said, yeah, there's problems. They said, but these people, they're bred for us. They said, we're going to eat them. We used to have a saying, I haven't heard it in years. We used to say, easy as pie. You remember saying that? Easy as pie. I don't think pie's easy to make. I think pie's easy to eat. And when my fast is over, that's one thing I will be eating. But the idea of easy as pie, when they said these people are bred for us, Joshua and Caleb were going, hey guys, we can do this. And then the biggest key is they mentioned God four times. The other guys never mentioned God. But they said, hey, if the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into this land. He will give it to us. He's on our side because He is with us. Their positivity is not because they just felt like they were so awesome. It's because they felt like they were connected to someone who was awesome. And the God who brought them out of Egypt would bring them into the promised land. They're saying, God will help us. And that's powerful. Because when you begin to add that into it, that's what makes all the difference. When you think about being positive in your life, and you think, well, you know, Alan, I just wasn't a positive person. But you can be because I'm going to show you, you've got a connection. Remember, you're already a world overcomer because you're born of God. And what you believe can make a difference. Here's the first thing. You've got to believe that negativity has a bad impact. If you're going to become a more positive person, you've got to understand that people say things like, well, I'm just being real. You ever heard that? I've said it myself. I'm just being real. Have you ever noticed people who say that are usually not positive? I'm just being real. Your kid's never going to make it in football. He's pretty pathetic. I'm just being real. I don't know if your daughter will ever make it out of junior high school. She's not that bright. Just being real. Yeah, you're being real irritating. I'm about to reach hands over you and lay hands on you in Jesus' name and pray for you in love, of course. Now, the idea is you don't realize how that negativity impacts other people. They've done some studies recently, came out of Great Britain, did a study. And the study determined that anxiety is conductive. In other words, if one person's afraid, it can impact other people. This study has found that if you're going to college and your roommate is depressed, you are more likely to become depressed. Why? Because they find that these negative emotions impact other people. Well, just stop and think about it for a second. You're cutting something, you have a knife, and all of a sudden you slice your finger open. You're like, ah. You freak out, you wrap it up. You're on your way to the emergency room praying, more prayer than you've ever done in a long time. Oh, God, please, oh, please. When you get to the hospital, to the ER room, and they unwrap it, do you want your doctor to go, oh, God, I'm sorry. That's not a good feeling if your doctor does that. You need a cool doctor who goes, oh, yeah, okay, we'll take care of that. Why? Because fear transmits. Do you know God actually knew this a long time ago? In the book of Deuteronomy, you can just look it up, chapter 20, I believe it's verse 8, they have rules for engagement and war. They used to have a rule that says, hey, here's the rule. Guys, we're about to face a lot of people more powerful than we are. If anybody's afraid, he needs to go home. Well, I already said they were outnumbered. But if anybody's afraid, let him go home. Why? He said, so his brother's heart doesn't faint like his heart. Do you realize that fear can transmit? And so we think, well, I'm just being real. I'm just, you know, it's the truth. It's being negative. No, it really may take the heart out of somebody else. Caleb said years later, Caleb and Joshua were the only guys that went in over the age of 40. And when they went into the promised land, they're 80 years old. Caleb said, you know, he said 40 years ago, he said, my brothers, he's talking about the 10 spies, he said, they caused the hearts of the people to melt. Do you realize that your words can actually cause the heart of people to melt, or can encourage them? It can lift them up. It can inspire them. Look at what it says in Proverbs. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. When you're positive, when you're trying to be positive, say, well, out there's so many negative things going on in my life right now, I just don't know what to do. Can I make just an easy suggestion? First thing is, don't keep talking about it. Don't let your words cause someone else's heart to melt. And I'll tell you what to do in just a second. But here's the second thing that'll help you. Focus on what's good, not just on the problem. So much of the time, guys, all of us have challenges in life. There's challenges to almost everything we do. If we only focus on the problem and talk about the problem and think about the problem, it's bigger and bigger and bigger. I realized that when Joy was up there with my daughter and my grandson and my son-in-law, they were in the NICU, the newborn intensive care unit. There's tubes and wires and beeping. And if you've ever been in intensive care, it's intense. And Joy was talking about that everything you're seeing, everything you're hearing is not positive. It's negative. It's this. It's this. You've got nurses running around with grim looks on their faces. You got parents crying. It's just a negative environment. And I realized they had to pull aside from that every now and then. I'm texting words and scriptures. Why? Just so they could begin to pull aside. Because if you only look at the problem, it gets bigger and bigger. Guys, can I tell you, that's one of the best reasons to come to church. Some of you are going through your own intensive care unit in your life, and there's wires and beeps and noises, and nothing looks good. You need to be able to come into a place where you're going to hear that God's good, that He loves you, that you're going to come through this situation, where there's some life in here. You can breathe some different kind of oxygen, where you can say, hey, I'm coming through this. And have a pastor and a staff that believes you're going to make it. We need that. Because we just keep talking, focusing on problem, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Here's the last one, and this is so important. If you're going to develop a more positive perspective, you have to understand that the whole foundation of it is simply a positive faith in God. In Romans, the 8th chapter, it's a wonderful verse. So what shall we say to these things? All this negative stuff that's around us, what shall we say to this? Here's what we say. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? We've got something to say to the negativity that's in the world. Hey, I believe God is real. I believe He's for us. I choose to believe that God will help me. I have a history with Him. If I ask for a show of hands of how many people God has ever helped before and brought you out, I bet you many of our hands would go up. We've got a history with Him. We've got promises with Him. And so we choose to believe in that gives us a different perspective. And I'll tell you a story and we'll close from there. When I went to North Carolina a number of years ago to start a church, I shut it down after a month. It was an ill-timed venture. My dad hired me. We had a family business, small family business. I appreciate the fact he was very gracious. He hired me. I have really no skill in my hands. Say, Alan, that sounds negative. I'm just being real. No, I really don't have any skill, and nor do I want to develop any. I just don't have time. And so what my dad hired me to put up mini blinds and drapes and cornices. And cornice boards are like these boards that will go over the top of a window. They're made out of wood and fabric. You got to fit them just right. And my dad, he was gracious. He hired me. I was not the world's best employee. I sold better than I installed. But he sent me out to do his installation at this nursing home thing. And man, it was, I couldn't get it done. And I struggled with those things the whole day. At the end of the day, I'm defeated. So I go in to see my dad, and I don't want to go see my dad, because for those of you who have worked for your fathers before, you know, dads can have a way of looking at you like, great, well, really? And I was expecting disappointment or anger. I just sat in front of his desk. I said, Dad, I tried the best I could. I could not get those cornices up. I'm expecting the backlash. It never came. I'll never forget it. It's still one of my best memories of my father. He reaches over and he grabs his installation calendar. He says, I'll send Lee with you tomorrow. Now, Lee worked for my dad. Anyone ever seen the show MacGyver? And they brought that back. I think they're redoing it, didn't they?
Yeah.
Or they redid it. MacGyver was based on Lee. Lee was amazing with his hands. Lee could take duct tape and a paperclip, make a jet engine out of it. He was just amazing. He could create amazing stuff. And my dad said to me, I'll send Lee with you tomorrow. That's all he said. That's all I needed. I walked out of there on cloud nine. I'm like, I drove home. I was happy. You know, I was happy. Because my father said, Lee's coming. I'm like, glory to God, Lee is coming. I'm driving home going, Lee is coming tomorrow. I'm feeling good. Why? Did I see Lee? No. Did I get a text from Lee? This was before text. No. I didn't have any of that going on. Here's what I had going on. My father said that Lee would be coming tomorrow. I believed in my father. I believe he told me the truth. I woke up in the morning and immediately the thought of, what are you going to do? Hit me. And then I thought, no. My father said, Lee is coming. And so I went to work happy. I drove to that place happy because I knew I wasn't just on my own. My father said that Lee was coming, and Lee did come. He showed up. We got it done. The whole thing was knocked up. If I can do that with my father, my earthly father, how much more can you do it with your heavenly father? If he said he will help you, he will. If he said he will never leave you, he will. If he said you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, you can. And so what begins to change is, God, I'm not just awesome by myself. I am connected to you, and you are really awesome. And I'm trusting you. Now listen, when you allow this to change your thinking and your speaking, it doesn't start off that way. It starts off a little awkward. You might go, God is helping me. And you thought, oh, that sounded strange. Just keep doing it anyway until it becomes just part of you. And it gets in your heart. Man, when it gets in your heart, it gives you the ability to stare down the NICU. It gives you the ability to stare down some of these problems and go, God's helping us, and we're coming through. I believe our church's best year is on the brink. So why? Because God's with us. He's helping us. And we got a group of people that will believe him and develop a positive perspective and build a winning culture in our church, in our lives, and in our home. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? Most positive verse I know is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave, not just least, not grudgingly, he loved and gave his only begotten son. That whoever believed, not earned, not was pretty enough, not was strong enough, whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's a positive gospel. This morning, if you've come and said, Alan, I've never made that connection with Jesus Christ. I've never asked him to be the Lord and Savior of my life. Or maybe you're here and you say, Alan, I've done that, and I know I've gotten far away from God, and I want to come back. We're going to say a simple prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask, please, no one leave or move just for a minute here. If that's you that I'm talking to, and you say, Alan, I need to come back to God, or I need to connect with him for the very first time, sitting in your chair, we're going to pray a prayer. If you would like to be in on that prayer, I'm going to ask you only to do one thing. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. All I'm going to do is ask you simply to lift your hand and say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? I want to come back to God. I need to come to him the very first time. Thank you. Hands have gone up all over. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Yeah, way in the back. Thank you. Thank you. Here on the side, down in the front. Anybody else? Just say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Great. We're going to do that. You can put your hands down. Maybe you were part of that group that said, oh, I really need to lift my hand. I didn't do it. And you're kicking yourself. No, it's not too late. God sees hands. He sees hearts. And we're going to pray this prayer with you. We're going to pray it out loud. We're going to ask the whole church family to join you. You're not alone in this. So here's our prayer. We're going to pray it out. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. and God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Heads are bowed still, eyes are closed. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. Thank you, Father, for those of us who've always wanted to be more positive, to be more of an impact. Thank you. We have the potential to do that, and we can. So, Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, we close as you taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.